Praise you, Lord. We're going to have a quick teaching tonight. Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. In verse 36. Acts 10, verse 36. And the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John had preached. How God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the what? Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the... For God was with him. Oppressed by the devil. Let me share something with you. The anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, is not given for someone to sit in the corner and twiddle their thumbs. In fact, the word anoint means to rub. Okay? In other words, did you ever see a screwdriver? When you begin to screw the screws enough times, there's enough friction in there because there's enough rubbing. Actually, what it does is create a magnetic force on that thing. Next thing you know, you can take that screwdriver and go around and touch other screws, and it picks it up. It's got an anointing, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Well, that anointing was given to Jesus by God, which is the Holy Spirit. And we know that Jesus is God, don't we? Well, why did God do all these things? So that you and I would learn. Does everybody get that? So that you and I would learn. In fact, Jesus said many times, He said, listen, you heard that voice not for me, but for you. Yes, He came to fulfill, didn't He? He had a purpose to do. His purpose was what God's plan and what God's will was. But He was God Himself, wasn't He? So He came as the example for me and you and the things that we needed to do. Amen? So we see that a couple things happened. Jesus was anointed with power to what? Do good. You know, the anointing of God is not always just casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and so forth. It's also the power to say no to the devil. Amen? It's the power to say yes to God and to be obedient. So the anointing is not given for someone just to sit and twiddle their thumbs. The anointing is given for service. Jesus was out serving God, wasn't He? He was the example. Hallelujah. Now the word anoint, like I said, means rub. Rub. And when God called and He anointed someone, what He did was He set them apart for Him. Does everybody get that? Jesus was known as the anointed one and His anointing. In fact, the word Christ means anointed. Amen? The word Christ means anointed. And the word Christ is a Greek word for the word anointed or anointing. And the word Messiah is the Hebrew word for anointed. So we need to have the anointing, don't we? If Jesus came into this world and needed the anointing, so do you and I. And He was anointed by who? The Holy Spirit. Now, what was His purpose? It says, and God was with Him. The purpose of God anointing me and you is to be about His business, to bring glory to Him, not to ourselves. To bring glory to Him. And I want to share a quick couple examples of that. Let's go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Pathway of the anointing. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 61. Now Jesus was anointed with the what? Holy Spirit. And we see Isaiah prophesied this in chapter 61, and it says in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Well, and the Holy Spirit came upon Him, didn't it? Because the Lord has what? Anointed. He has set me apart for service for him. Now, in the Old Testament, God chose certain ones that he would anoint. In the New Testament, because Jesus made the way, it's available for everybody. Everybody, not just those. Amen? It's available for everybody. He has anointed me with the Holy Spirit. To what? Preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that who may be glorified? He may be glorified. So understand something. The anointing is given to me and you to bring glory to him. In fact, the gifts of the Spirit are not ours, are they? They're his. So many people go around, I got this. You haven't got anything. We don't have nothing. We have all things in him, but nothing's ours. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I'm always weary of somebody that comes up and starts exalting their office. Amen. Hi, I'm the prophet of, I'm the evangelist of, hey, I'm a brother. Hi. Yes, I'm an outreach minister or whatever. But never exalting. When you hear people exalt their offices, be weary. Because it's not our office, it's his. He just put somebody in there. Anybody can go into that office. Amen. In Isaiah 11. While we're in Isaiah. Isaiah 11 and verse 2. We see this again. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of what? Wisdom. And understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the reverence or the fear of the Lord. Again, it's bringing reverence, because when you bring reverence to God, you're bringing glory to him, aren't you? Now, we see that this is the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. See, it's no longer the wisdom and knowledge of the world when the anointing comes on you, and when the Holy Ghost begins to dwell into this temple. Now you're getting the wisdom and knowledge of God. That's why many people don't understand the Word of God. Because it's been written by the Holy Ghost. And with no fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to understand his book. Because he's the one that wrote it. And there's a lot of people walking around about saying, I know, but they can't do. And you can't walk it, and I share every time, this Bible can't save you. Only if you can walk it. But if you can't walk it, you're in trouble. You know why? No power. No power. Turn to Acts 1:8. Hallelujah. Hey, things aren't getting better out there, are they? They're getting harder. Praise be to God. They're getting harder for a reason. Some people are finally getting sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they're finally running to Daddy. They're finally going, okay, I can't take it any longer. There's got to be another way. I've tried money. I've tried sex. I've tried drugs. I've tried material cars, and I just can't get it. There's got to be something else. Those idols, right? Those idols that bring fulfillment temporarily. Man, I got a business and this and that. My business is more important than life. Amen. Or my car is more important than life. Or my, whatever it may be. Idols. Idols. Things that are before God. Is everybody there? And you shall receive what?
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we shall receive power. What's the power for? To bring a witness. To be a witness to Jesus. To always bring glory to Him. No matter what it is. In every circumstance, in everything that you're involved in, God has given you the power. And you know, that's all you need to do is say no, and the power shows up. And you say yes, and the power shows up. But you have the choice. Everyone has the choice. We can deny their power too, can't we? We can deny it. We can say, well, not right now. You know, Lord, I just, and then I'll just. It's like when somebody takes back their own will again, don't they? Oh, Lord, here's my will. Wow, that looks good. I think I'll do it my way. And we pull back our will again. The next thing we know, we're stumbling over our own feet and we're crying out to God, oh, God, help me again. And He brings us into place to get help. And then we go, well, okay, I'm all right now. I'll see you later. Hallelujah. And we see a lot of that, don't we? Hallelujah. So God calls the ones that He has called. Each and every one of us is available to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. His desire is to anoint us and fill us and empower us to be a witness unto Him. He calls us the anointed ones. His anointing, or the Lord's anointed. The Bible says, touch not the Lord's anointed, doesn't it? Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Oh, bless the Lord. Chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So we see here, not only does the Word say that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, but now we see that He's in us, isn't He? Amen. He's in us. Now remember, the anointing is not given for me and you just to sit in a corner and twiddle our thumbs. It's for service.
Amen.
For service. Let's go to 1 Samuel 10. The pathway. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Oh, praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Is everybody there? Pathway of the anointing. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, who was Saul, who was being chosen as king, and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over His inheritance? In other words, He has set him aside. He has placed His hand upon him. He is what? He's invited him, hasn't He? He has invited him, called him to take care of His people, His inheritance. Now, Samuel was the man of God. He anointed Saul, point of contact. And there's a couple things that had to happen. And if you'll go down to verse 3, in other words, when you are invited, and everybody can be invited to something, but they have to come and participate, don't they? If you're invited to something and don't participate, you don't get it. You can sit in the bandstands and watch a basketball game all year round, right? But until you're finally in the game, then something's happening. Is everybody with me? In verse 3, so Samuel told Saul, he said, then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There are three men going up to the God at Bethel will meet you. Now Bethel means house of God. One carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a skin of wine. Now, I want to share something with you first of all. Everything in the Word of God is symbolic. There isn't anything in this Word that's not symbolic. Does everybody get it? Everything is symbolic. Now, Saul was called, wasn't he? He was invited. You know, in the book of Revelation, it said many, there are those who are called, chosen, and faithful, right? Called, chosen, and faithful. So the word call is a representation of being invited to something. As you begin to participate, God chooses you. And that way, and as long as you are walking in that chosen position, you are known as faithful. So we see here that Saul was called or invited. And before he could be totally chosen, because he had a choice, didn't he? Samuel said, listen, there's a couple things that you're going to have to do. Because though God has called you, before you can handle his work and be about God's business, you must be a different person. And the first thing he says, okay, you're going to have to go up to the house of God. I want you to meet these guys that are there. They're going to have goats. They're going to have bread. And they're going to have wine. What would be the goats for? Sacrificing. Sacrifice. What do they do with bread and wine? Have communion, don't they? And he said to them, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread. When you shall receive from, and you shall receive from their hands. Two means what? Witness. Now listen, here are the goats. Here he's going to go meet these men. He's going to give, he's going to see these guys. They're going to have goats, they're going to have bread, and they're going to have wine. Now listen, Jesus is known as the way, truth, and life, isn't he? No one can come. The way is known as the cross. Because no one can enter the kingdom of God without repentance and receiving the blood that has been done for them by Jesus, right? So the goats are a representation of the sacrifice, the blood. That's where he's known as the way. The bread is known as the bread of life, or the bread from heaven, known as the word, is known as the truth, isn't it? If you're not walking in the truth, you're certainly not walking right before God, are you? If you don't know the truth, you can't be walking right before God. Amen? So we see here that the bread is a representation of truth, and the wine is a representation of the anointing. Does everybody get that? So here, even in the Old Testament, the first one who was called, as for the king, God chose, he called, and he says, listen, I'm going to anoint you. Now there's a couple things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to meet these men. Why? God was making the pathway for the anointing for him. Offering up a sacrifice. Sharing with him about the bread, which is a representation of truth, of the word. And he said, and here will be the wine, which is the representation of the anointing. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Is everybody with me? Okay, let's see what happens now. So he says, okay, you will greet them, and they will give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from them. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a what? String, instrument, tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. In other words, they're already up making sacrifices unto the God, weren't they? In the high places. They were already praising, worshiping with the Lord. They had already offered up their sacrifices. And the anointing of God was upon them, and they were coming down prophesying, weren't they? And Samuel told Saul, listen, I want you to meet them there on the way down. And he said, and they will be prophesying. What in verse 6? And then what? Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be what? Turn into another man. The anointing turns you into another man. Does everybody get it? The anointing turns you into another person. And the pathway of the anointing is important to me and you. The blood is always available. The only way that the blood activates in your life is as a repentant life. Because it is the ministry of the Spirit. Spirit means breath. And the only way that you got saved is to believe on Jesus Christ, right? Amen. But the first thing you had to do is, after you believed that He was the Savior, is confess your sins. Amen. You had to what? Confess your sins. You had to say, Lord, I repent. I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. And I believe that your blood has washed my sins away. So, we must be quick to repent. We can't hold off on things that we've done. We must walk in truth so that we can continue to walk in that anointing. Didn't the anointing lift from Saul? Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that God has left us, does it? The Bible says this, we can grieve the Holy Ghost, doesn't it? Amen. So, the pathway of the anointing is to constantly walk with the King of Glory in an atmosphere of quick to repent. Walking in truth. And receiving the anointing. Does everybody get it? I'm going to give you another example. In 1 Kings 19. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 19. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Did you ever notice that if you did something that you knew, you needed to make amends on, and you didn't make amends right away, you had a struggle, didn't you? It seemed like the flow wasn't there, was it? That flow just didn't seem to flow the way it should flow. Oh, man, where's the Holy Ghost? Man, where's that flow? Where's that river? Where's that peace? Uh-oh, I better search. I better seek the Lord and search through and find out where I blundered something. In 1 Kings 19, in verse 15, glory to God. Now this is about Elijah. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness, to Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nehshma, as king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Ebal, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Joah will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Joah, Elijah will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all those knees who have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him, and what did he do? He threw his mantle on him. He threw his mantle on him. The Bible says, no man come to the Father unless he be what? Drawn. So he threw his mantle on him. In other words, he what? He invited him. Elijah knew who Elijah was, don't you think so? Amen. His heart was probably always to be a part of a prophet or be involved in what was going on. Now, if he had 12 oxen and a plow, it means he was a wealthy man. I mean, that's how it was. It didn't mean that he was just skimping or anything. He was a wealthy man at that period of time. Amen? Now, something happened. Okay, let's go to verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Now I'll explain the rest of this here in a minute, but let's go a little bit further. I'm going to take you to that now in 2 Kings 2. So Elijah was invited, wasn't he? Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse, oh, I guess we'll go to 8, I think. Let's go to 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Is everybody there? In verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. The mantle what? Separated the water, didn't it? It was the anointing, wasn't it? So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, "Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you." Elijah said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." So he had to keep his eyes on him, didn't he? Now understand something, and I want to just back up a little bit. When Elijah saw Elijah and he threw the mantle on him, when he was invited and he had 12 oxen, right? The first thing Elisha did was he said, "Hey, can I go say goodbye to mommy and daddy?" And Elijah said, "What have I done to you?" And he said, "Okay, I get it." You know what he did? He went back, destroyed the plow, used it for firewood, and he sacrificed the 12 oxen, didn't he? And he gave it to the people to eat. Let me share something with you which is very important. The pathway to anointing is when you are invited and you say yes, you must burn everything of your past. Everything must go. You can never go back again. Never. If you want the anointing and the power of God in your life, you can never go back again. Never. 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 When you want the anointing of God on your life, you must make a decision that you want a whole new life, and you want no part of that old life ever again.
Thank you, Lord.
Never. Never, not even a glimpse. Never, never, never again. Elijah never went back, did he? Never. And he followed Elijah. And he saw the works of God with the power, with the anointing, didn't he? I mean, he followed Elijah. And even though that Elijah was going to be taken up, he followed him wherever he went. He kept his eyes on him. Why? He knew the power. And he knew he was going to need it. He wanted to bring glory to God. He wanted to bring glory to God. Hey, there's a price to pay, isn't there? Jesus paid the price, so you and I are going to have to pay a price, isn't it? So he followed them. In verse 11, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. What was he saying? I see it, I see it. I see it. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. So he took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that way, and Elijah crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah, on Elijah. And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Now, what did he do? What's the first thing he did? The same pattern, isn't it? Amen. He offered, he received the invitation, he offered up the sacrifice, decided I'm never going back again, and went after. He walked in truth, following the man of truth who was the anointed one. Elijah was the anointed prophet. He followed him. He believed him, didn't he? He said, you're going to ask me what you want. And if you see, then it's going to happen. So he believed him, didn't he? He followed them. Elijah was taken up, and the mantle came down. Now that mantle was a representation of the anointed one who was to come. And the anointing. Remember when Jesus came out of the water? What did they see come down? A dove. That same anointing is the Holy Spirit that is available for me and you. The anointing that was on Elijah and Elijah is no different than the anointing that you and I have. Hello? Let's go a little further. In Luke 1, the pathway of the anointing, quick to repent, walking in the truth. Don't get pushed out of position. Don't get pushed out of position. Glory to God. In Luke 1, in verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom and just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let me share something with you. God is calling me and you with the anointing of God to prepare a people ready for the Lord. We are the wasn't John the Baptist the forerunner of the return of the Lord? You and I are the forerunners of the return of the Lord too, aren't we? Amen. The same anointing by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, born that way. Now, it says that he neither drank wine nor strong drink, right? Depends how close you want to be to the Lord. Amen. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who say, well, man, there ain't nothing wrong with having a glass of wine with my meal and whatever. No one said anything is wrong. But how close do you want to be to the Lord?
Amen.
That's up to us. We have the choice, don't we? What do you mean you can't drink on weekends? How close do you want? That's why, do you ever drive by a place and it says food and spirits? They're not kidding, right?
Amen.
The Bible says don't drink of the cup of demons and drink of the Lord's table.
Amen.
Ain't lying. You know, God wants me and you to be a witness. We're to be the witness. We're to have the anointing. How much of anointing do you want? Depends on what you're willing to give up. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke 3 while we're in Luke. Hallelujah. Luke 3, somewhere around there. Now let's skip there and go to Luke 4. Luke 4. Is everybody ready? In verse 1. Now we know Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit now, after his baptism, right? He returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the what? Oh, you know what? People just don't like going in the wilderness. Being tempted 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and after when he was ended, he was hungry. Now listen. When the anointing of God comes upon you and you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is trying to do is separate you to him. That's known as the wilderness. The next thing you know, certain things just don't feel right any longer. He's trying to separate you. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate and do not touch what is unclean, and then I'll be a father to you and you'll be my son and my daughter. Those things quench the Spirit of God. You know, even though the Holy Ghost is there, you're disobedient, he just backs off and lets you do what you want to do. So we see that even Jesus himself was taken into the wilderness, wasn't he? Well, let me share something with you. The Holy Spirit takes you into the wilderness so that you can be tested. But let me share with you what the test is all about. Two things, so that you can learn and lean. Does everybody get it? So that you can learn and you can lean. No longer will you trust in the ways of man. No longer will you trust. God has revealed so much to you that you can never, never, never go back the other way. That's why he brings you in the wilderness. Now you can reject going in the wilderness so that you can learn and lean. Jesus says, come to me and learn from me. Because his what? Yoke is easy. And he wants to lift all the garbage from me and you. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage, isn't it? So the more anointing you walk in, now the anointing can increase in your life. So that you can learn and lean. That's why God brings me and you in the wilderness. You know, after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, God, you know, I was fellowshipping, and the one thing that the Lord had me do was fellowship with those that were learned so I can learn quicker. He had me in the wilderness. He had me separated. And then he had me separated onto himself for 6 months. And he said to me, as long as you'll stay underneath my wing, I'll give you revelation knowledge. And I'll teach you. And you'll know my voice. That's one of the hardest things I think believers have, is knowing the voice of God. Too many of them walk in assumption and not in faith. Because faith comes by hearing. God says, go do this. That's walking in faith. When you go, oh, no, I don't know if that's God or what, that's walking in assumption. We must walk in faith. And one of the things we must do is go in the wilderness with God. One must be separated. That's why the Lord opened the discipleship house. So that you can be separated and come into the wilderness with him and learn. So that you can go through the struggles. Hey, let me tell you something. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be afflicted. It doesn't mean that certain things aren't going to happen in your life, because what we've sowed in our past We're still reaping, aren't we? But I'd rather reap it with Jesus than reap it alone. But Jesus will use those things that we're reaping to teach me and you. You know, things are going to happen. Things are still going to happen. But it's how you're going to deal with it now. What are you going to do with it now? This is where we got to go. He's going to quicken you to the Word to bring you direction. He's going to reveal something to you. He's going to give you confirmation on what to do. But unless you're separated onto Him, you're not going to learn and you're not going to lean. See, you always come learning truth, but you'll never be able to walk it until you are separated 100%. Until you make a decision that this is the life, you want a whole new life, and you never want to go back again. Never want to go back again. Turn to Mark, please. Mark chapter 1, please. Oh, hallelujah. In Mark 1, in verse 9. Is everybody there? And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. That's that mantle, isn't it? Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Remember, we just talked about that. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Sometimes we feel like we're with wild beasts. But that's all right. Remember, the angels are there to minister to you too. Now, after John was put in prison, well, hallelujah. Now, that represents our old man. See, the anointing puts your old man in prison. Do you understand that? So that your new man can come out. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, repentance means what? Remember, we talked about that. Here he's talking. Now, listen. First of all, you must understand that Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing. He is the Christ. The Christ represents the anointed one. God sent his manifested spirit into the natural realm. He was no longer the spirit that just came upon people. He was a spirit that came flesh. The Word became flesh, right? Okay, so the Spirit came into the world, and the Spirit put on flesh, known the Word. And when the anointing came on, the fullness of God was here on the earth. His mantle had come on him. The same mantle, the same anointing that he had when he was up in heaven, known as the Word, who became the Son. Remember, he was never known as the Son until he was begotten and decided to come to the earth. Then he became the Son. Other than that, he was known as the Word. So we see that Jesus was the Spirit. In fact, who was his Father? The Holy Ghost. Amen? He's the one that impregnated Mary, right? All right. So here's Jesus, the Spirit, known as the Christ, walking around. He was the example for me and you. Why? Because he's the anointed one in his anointing. So what was he preaching? Repent, representing the blood again. For the gospel, believe in the gospel, right? Representing the truth. Do you understand the pathway of the anointing? Constant repentance. Keeping clean. Keeping clean. Keeping clean, no matter what it is. Keeping clean. Walking in the truth. Maintaining the anointing. Keeping clean. Walking in the truth, maintaining the anointing. I have another whole teaching on maintaining the anointing, but this is the pathway to the anointing. Please turn the tape over. To Acts 2. Oh, we're going to practice this. And things are going to change. Acts 2, verse 38. And Brother Peter was out preaching. Glory to God. And Peter said to them, what does it say? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the what? Gift of the Holy Spirit. So what was he doing? He was setting the same path, wasn't he? Hallelujah. Setting the same path. What did he first thing he said? Repent. Same pattern. And he said, what do you believe? What? Believe the truth. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That anointing that we need. Amen. We must walk in it. Acts 2. Oh, we're going to practice. And things are going to change. Acts 2. Verse 38. And Brother Peter was out preaching. Glory to God. And Peter said to them, what does it say? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the what? Gift of the Holy Spirit. So what was he doing? He was setting the same path, wasn't he? Hallelujah. Setting the same path. What did he first thing he said? Repent. Same pattern. And he said, what do you believe? What? Believe the truth. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That anointing that we need. We must walk in it. Turn to John 12, please. Verse 23. John 12, 23. And Jesus said to them, the hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. If you ain't dead, if you're not dead, remember Paul said, John said, I must decrease that he could what? If you're not dead, that means you're still too much alive. Same thing that Elijah did. What did he do? He turned around, he took the plow, turned it into a fire, burnt sacrificed the oxes, and went. You know what he said? I'm never going back. I am dying to self. I am dying to self. The only way that you and I could produce more and have the anointing manifest in your life is if you're willing to die to yourself. In verse 25, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Remember, the word believe means to follow. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Ooh. My Father will honor. Remember, it's going back to bringing glory to the Father again. Bringing back to glory to God. Turn to Matthew 10. A couple more scriptures here. And we'll end this simple teaching. Matthew 10. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 10, 32. Matthew 10, 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. In other words, you're not going to confess him before men if you ain't dead. That means you're still too alive and fear has got you. Because the old man is a representation also. It holds fear. It holds pride. It holds all kinds of garbage of the world, doesn't it? But whoever denies me before him, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A sword. That's for me and you. You know how many people keep telling me, well, you know, Jesus did it all. I don't have to do anything. You know, Jesus is known as the door, isn't he? In other words, Jesus paid the price for me and you 2,000 years ago. Everything is available for me and you. Now we got to go get it. The Bible just said he didn't bring peace. He brought a sword for me and you. We're to carry on what he's done. Amen? For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, or her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Man, isn't that true sometimes? For he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. See, the cross is a choice, isn't it? You can pick it up or put it down anytime you want. You can pick it up or put it down. That's a choice that we have, isn't it? That's a choice that we do every single day. You can walk in that anointing or you can ignore that anointing. Hallelujah. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, it's a choice. I'm going to go to Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Pathway of the anointing. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, that was those past feelings again, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all uncleanliness, with greediness, but you have not learned Christ. Remember we talked about from the beginning, Holy Ghost separates you in the wilderness so that you can learn and lean. Does everybody get it? So that you can learn and lean. And here he is saying that you've not learned Christ. You've not learned the anointing. You've not learned the anointed one and his anointing. Because you weren't willing to be separated. You weren't willing to let go of the past. You weren't willing to die. Remember, that is a choice every single day for me and you. But here he says, you have not learned Christ. You have not learned the anointing. Let me tell you something. God is spirit, isn't he?
Amen.
Without fellowship and understanding of the Holy Spirit, it's a difficult thing to have a relationship. You'll have a carnal relationship. You'll have a maybe. But there won't be that power there. There won't be that impartation. So he says, you've not learned Christ. If indeed you had heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Who puts them off?
We do.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in truth, righteousness, and holiness. They're putting away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. If you're walking in the anointing, you're not going to give place to the devil. Why? Because the Bible says that the Spirit will guide you to all truth. If you've not learned them, you're not being led to all truth. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who he has need. Now here we go. Now listen to this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave me and you. I want to end with this scripture. 1 John 2. In 1 John chapter 2. You know, whatever it is that is separating you from God in any way, from walking in the power and strength of the anointing, whatever it is, let the Holy Ghost deal with you. Let it come up. Get rid of it. We must walk in the anointing of God. We must walk in the power of Christ. We can't survive without Him. You know, you know, some of the chaplains in the jail, they, you know, some of them are old-timers and so forth, and that's cool, praise God. And sometimes they think, oh man, he guy's always come in here preaching the Holy Spirit and the gifts and so forth. And it's like, well, what about Jesus? It's like, they don't understand the Holy Ghost is about Jesus. You know, it's like they don't get it sometimes. But some of them do. Hallelujah. I get blessed, though. They put up with me because God makes them. 3.5 years, and they tried to throw me out so many times, Pastor Bill, it's incredible. They've tried to set traps for me and everything, but the Holy Ghost knew ahead of time. Some of them are gone now. Remember, the Bible says don't come against the anointed, right? 1 John chapter 2, in verse 17. Oh, hallelujah. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now remember something, Antichrist is a representation of spirit. Demonic. Every demon is an antichrist. Every one of them is going to come against the anointing of God. Does everybody get it? Okay. Now the thing is if you listen to those spirits, that's why there are some that come against the gifts, there are some that come against the power, there are some against come against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, they're listening to an antichrist spirit, which is a demon. They've not learned Christ, have they? Okay, now listen, verse 19. They went out from us, but they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. Do you notice how many times You know, I know in the discipleship house, God makes way for people to come in. But you notice that some of them who reject, they end up going out. They end up going out because they've not learned Christ. And then they become manifest, don't they? But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? In other words, that denies that Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing. He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. Now, listen. What's the next word? If. Hello? That means choice. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you. Well, who wants to steal what you've heard? Amen. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, is true and is not a lie. And just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. The anointing. The anointing. The anointed one and his anointing. So you and I need to hold on to the truth, don't you? Because the devil's going to try and come up and push you off the rock to try and get you out of position. Remember, everything in the Bible, everything in the kingdom, and everything in the spirit is a representation of positioning. If the devil can remove you out of position, you don't receive. If he can move you out of position, you begin to doubt. You begin to fear. Confusion comes. And the next thing we know, we're grabbing anything. Remember, there is a war going on, isn't there? And every day is a battle. And if you lose a battle, don't run to the flesh. Shake the dust off and stand up, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Let the anointing of God work through you. That's if you're total, yielded, learned, and leaning individual. You allow the anointing to work through you. Does everybody get it? Because we must be empty, dead of self. That's how we stay filled. That's how we stay filled. Praise God. Holy Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your word. We bless your holy name and we welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. We thank you for being here and waiting on us.